Welcome back to the 20% True Podcast, Season 2, Dubious Creatures, Episode 1, The Wooded Island. I'm Carolyn Rahaman. The girls wore black, or at least as much black as they could find in Mia's closet, and split between the three of them. Mia got to wear her black pants because they didn't fit anyone else, and a plain black shirt with three-quarters length sleeves. Angela got to wear the skirt made of ruffles, and an overlarge cardigan from Mia's mom, which was way too hot for spring, even though it was the dead of night. Angela had been in a frumpy phase lately, and she glared when Mia offered to switch shirts with her. Rainey wore the mostly black t-shirt from the Black Keys tour. It had a bright blue spiral on the front that they mostly covered with a navy blue scarf. Navy blue was close enough. Rainey wrapped the scarf around her face like a ninja, which made Mia worry that if they were seen, they wouldn't be easily forgotten. But Angela approved of Rainey's devotion to the cause. Rainey then stepped up and claimed the last item of clothing available, the joke miniskirt and black tights. The tights had glitter stars, which twinkled. And the girls had a whole big debate about what was more noticeable in the dark, the glitter stars or Rainey's fluorescently pale legs. They closed the car doors as quietly as they could, which was a challenge for Angela, who always slammed the doors no matter how much Mia told her not to. They checked over their shoulders as they darted across the street, into the park and out of the orange hue of the streetlights. When they could only sort of see the road, Rainey distributed the flashlights. She'd apparently also bought Chex Mix. Angela ate only one pretzel, steeling herself, then threw back her shoulders and marched forward, leading them through the park and across the bridge to the wooded island. The wooded island was surrounded by man-made canals, where gondolas used to row around during the World's Fair. Now it was home to instances of public art, landscaping displays, and, everyone said, a unicorn. "If I were a unicorn," Angela whispered, "I'd sleep in the middle of the Yoko Ono statue." "I'd sleep in the pavilion thing in the Japanese garden," Rainey whispered. "Do unicorns even sleep?" Mia asked. The other two shushed her. "I'm just saying," she said, lowering her voice. "Maybe it moves around, running through the woods. If it was just sleeping in some place obvious, we'd all know for sure where it was, because everyone would go and look at it." "Not everyone," Angela said darkly. That ended the discussion. This had been Angela's idea. Mia and Rainey were just there for support and backup, and all the good things that good friends do. But Mia had to admit that she'd always wanted to see a unicorn, and she might not have the opportunity to much longer. She and Jay sort of had plans that they were working up to, but hadn't really gotten around to yet. They'd been circling the topic, dancing around it as they danced around each other, swooping towards it like missing a stair, like suddenly falling, brushing against it, then pulling back, gasping for air, their orbit wobbly for a day or two before they righted themselves, setting up for the next pass when they'd swoop closer, ever closer. It was hard to tell Angela and Rainey about it, because she couldn't express the unbridled joy without making it sound somehow diminished, without using cliches that made her sound like all the other lovesick girls at school who they'd always made fun of. It wasn't like that. It was more. It was love and respect and affection. It wasn't like dumb high school love that would fizzle out in a couple of weeks. This was real, and no one understood. She also couldn't express the terror that came hand in hand with their closeness, without her friends worrying for her, and giving her advice that just didn't make sense, and giving Jay the stink eye that he didn't deserve, and made him question if he'd done something wrong, when he for sure had not. He should definitely keep doing what he was doing, like, repeatedly. That didn't mean it wasn't scary. She had no idea where the terror came from, because, like she said, this was real. And she knew the whole saving yourself stuff was just the patriarchy, and she really, really wanted to. But still, something nagged at her, pulled her back from the brink, even though throwing herself off would be glorious. She decided it must be the fact that she wouldn't be able to see the unicorn afterwards. Once she saw it, she'd have nothing to lose, no reason to hold back. She could let herself go, cut the tethers that latched onto her and dragged her back whenever she felt her skin tingle and her stomach swoop, whenever she kissed a trail down Jay's abs and then felt self-conscious. He played basketball and had really nice abs. Like, there was muscle there, but they weren't ridiculous cut. Like, in a few years, he was going to be ripped, and that would be awesome because then he'd be a full-grown man and it wouldn't be weird. She imagined telling Jay tomorrow in the parking lot, sitting on the trunk of her car, purring that she'd seen a unicorn, and what more did she need with her virginity anyway? She'd wear her good fake eyelashes. She practiced looking up through them as they walked the trail to the Yoko Ono statue. It was dark. Her friends wouldn't notice her making a weird face. They huffed up the hill that shielded the statue, making a kind of bowl in which it sat. At the top, they swept their flashlights around. The light bursting on the silver petals of the statue that jutted from the ground like a lotus flower was working its way up through the manicured lawn. In the dark, they looked more like wolf teeth cutting through gums than any kind of blossoming flower. There was no sign of any unicorn. Angela jogged down the hill to check, peeking around the petals and checking the other hill. "Nothing," she hissed. "Maybe it doesn't like Yoko Ono," Rainey said. Mia and Angela shushed her, even though she was just trying to be helpful. And now that they were on the island, there probably wasn't much chance of them being caught. Angela huffed back up the hill, Rainey reaching for her hand and hauling her up the last few steps. Together, they turned for the Japanese garden. The gate was closed and locked, so they had to scramble up a tree and hop a fence. Mia feared for her glitter star tights, but knew it would be petty to ask Rainey to be careful. The path through the garden went around in a loop, past cherry blossom trees that were out of season, and over steeply arching bridges, past a pond with a waterfall and decorative rocks, and past a little pavilion where it looked like you could have a tea ceremony or a little kid karate class. Maybe they used it for performances sometimes, but the only time Mia had ever seen it in use was when a model in a huge, ridiculous cloak was posing in the middle with a photographer circling her. They briefly squabbled about splitting up, as Rainey suggested, circling around from both directions to pin the unicorn between them. But they decided against it. They didn't need to corner the unicorn, because the unicorn wouldn't run from them. And besides, the garden was dark. A close darkness, trapped in by tall wood fences and dense-set trees. It was hard to see the pink hue of the sky, or the pink hue of the gravel path that crunched under their feet. The pond was black as pitch, and looked like it might be the same consistency. Like a tar pit that killed dinosaurs. But somewhere there was a gurgling, so somewhere the water was bubbling, because, Mia reminded herself, it was just water. And the gurgling was the pond filtration system, and not some sort of nasty monster or freaky axe murderer. The pavilion was a total mystery until the flashlights lit it up like spotlights, and Mia sucked in a breath, knowing that with just the slightest shift of the flashlight, they would reveal the white specter of the unicorn. Suddenly, shockingly, maybe its eyes would snap open like a jump scare in a horror movie. The flashlight swept past, locking on to the center of the stage. The empty stage. They held their lights there for an extended moment, not quite believing it, then let out breaths of relief that quickly turned to confusion as they swept the small lawn around it, then the small lawn down by the pond, the one with the decorative rocks. There was no sign of the unicorn. After a good long search, Angela swore, planting her hands on her hips and letting her flashlight shine where it may. "Where to now?" Rainey asked. None of them bothered to whisper anymore. Angela huffed. "If it's not here, and it's not at the Yoko Ono sculpture..." "It's gotta be in the woods," Mia finished. The garden and the sculpture only took up a small part of the island on the north side. The rest was a loop of a bike trail, through some relatively thick woods, given that they were in the middle of a city. "It only makes sense," Angela said. "It's got to be hard to find, or more people would find it." "Are we really going to search through the woods?" Rainey asked. "We have to," Angela said. She turned on her heel and headed back to the fence. Rainey and Mia shared a look, their flashlights pointing at one another's chests. Rainey wanted to trudge through the bush in the dark and find poison ivy and broken beer bottles just as much as Mia did. "Maybe it'll be in the middle of the path," Mia said. Neither of them believed that. "Come on," she said. "Angela's not going to stop looking, and I'm not leaving her out here alone." Rainey nodded, and they hurried to catch up, helping each other up a cherry blossom tree. Mia landed funny on her ankle when she dropped over to the other side. Angela stood still on the path, shining her light into the woods. The trees looked impenetrable, like the light just stopped 3 feet from the path. "We should have brought a machete," Rainey said, shining her light in with Angela's. "It's like the thorns that grew up around Sleeping Beauty's castle," Mia said. Oh, and we're in a fairy tale on a quest, Rainey said. To prove our honor. They laughed. Angela turned to shine her light into the woods on the other side of the trail, then down the path, which disappeared into the darkness, like a tunnel into a mountain. I really don't know where to start, she said. Jesus, we're the worst adventurers ever. Well, Rainey said, think of it this way. Maybe it's just a rumor, and there isn't even a unicorn. So any amount of looking would be a good try. Mia cut her eyes to Angela, just to check that she hadn't taken any offense. That she wouldn't freak out. Angela had been so on edge lately, she'd had trouble telling when things were jabs and when they weren't. Angela's face was in darkness. She'd had a rough time since all the drama started going down. There'd been one crazy gross story, started probably by a girl crushing on her ex-boyfriend. Then a second one popped up, from a source they hadn't tracked down yet. But Mia suspected Angela's cousin, who was at the movie night where the second supposed grossness took place. And where one rumor could be blown off as a lie and kind of pathetic, two rumors meant that they were both true. It meant the field was open for everyone to come up with some wild story that corroborated the two, added to the narrative, gave it color, threw fuel on the fire of what everyone already took to be true. With 100 stories, it meant people were allowed to catcall her in the hallways, their voices sing-song and their words revolting. It meant teachers pulled her aside after class to have "let's talk like friends" and "not like I'm your teacher" talks while perching on the edge of their desks and using their soothing voices. Talks full of "I was young once" and "if you ever need anythings." It meant boys Angela liked avoided her, and boys that were disgusting threw their arms over her shoulders and grabbed her ass and asked for kisses. It meant that Angela, who had no patience to begin with, had lost it. 3 times. Screaming in the cafeteria, screaming in English class, upending Keisha Hayes' desk, resulting in an in-school suspension, resulting in the rumors exploding. But that wasn't the worst one. The worst one was the third, where she'd confessed to everything. To vile things with guys she didn't even know, at parties she wasn't even at, to the dirtiness and the wetness. She screamed that she'd enjoyed it. She'd loved it. She'd meant it to sound sarcastic, but she was so wound up that that hadn't worked. Confessions extracted by torture can't be taken seriously. They'd learned that in world history. Angela thought it would shut them up. Own it, she'd thought. Own it, she'd told herself. But now everything was worse. When she'd calmed down and gone back to the strategy of denying it, she couldn't take it back. She had to find the unicorn. Find it, take a picture with it, post it online. Print out copies and tape them to lockers, tape them to doors, tape them to the mirrors in the girls' restroom, scatter them from an airplane that flew over the next lacrosse game. We should walk the trail first, Mia hedged. See if we find a better way in, or if the unicorn's just sitting on the trail. Yeah, Rainey said. Like, if we can't get in there, then the unicorn couldn't get in there. It's way bigger than us. They started walking. But it's also magical, Angela countered. It's all graceful and stuff. So you think it, like, slips between bushes? Maybe it walked over them, like an elf, or through them like a ghost. No, Rainey said, it's like a horse. A sneaky horse. Mia was tired and sweaty and her ankle tinged, and there was a rustling in the trees that was either the unicorn following them or some creep trying to mug them. But whenever she swung around, there was nothing there. It was making her edgy, and she was getting a headache and eye strain, and she really wished she'd brought a Coke or at least some water. They made a complete circuit of the island, finding no unicorn lounging in the path, and very little evidence that they could penetrate into the woods. But they'd have to. Maybe we should split up, Mia said. Like we didn't do at the Japanese garden, Rainey asked. I told you, Angela said, we don't need to split up because it won't run from us. That's the whole point. Okay, so into the woods? Mia really didn't want to go into the woods. They were all going to get tetanus. And these were nice pants, with cuffs now in danger of getting muddy, to say nothing of the tights Rainey was wearing, which, if not snagged already, would be the second they stepped into the woods. Angie, I want to see the unicorn too and all. But not enough to prove my innocence? Not enough to die in the woods? Oh, get real, we're not going to die. I just don't know if it's worth it. Angela stiffened. Not worth it. Right. because my reputation isn't worth it. That's not what I meant. Come on. No, I get it. It's not your underwear everyone's guessing about, so why should you care? I do care. I care about you. You know that. We wouldn't be out here at all if we didn't care. So what, you're humoring me? No, I want to see the unicorn, and I wanted you to see the unicorn, but I don't think we can find it. Be rational. I'm the only one who is rational. If people would just open their eyes, God, how am I the one that's a slut? Mia's back stiffened. What's that mean? I think you know what it means. Maybe there's a reason we can't find the unicorn, and that reason isn't me. Oh my God, you! Hey! Rainey shoved her light into Mia's face, then into Angela's. They both shrieked and crumpled back, rubbing at their blinded eyes. Stop it, Rainey snapped. We're not turning on each other. We're not accusing each other. If we turn on each other, then who do we have left to trust? If we don't believe each other, then we're just as bad as everyone else. She blinded them with the light again, sensing that they were about to argue. And what are we even fighting about? Who the hell cares about virginity? The whole thing is so stupid. Angela cut in. You're not the one being accused of... You're right. I'm not. But Angela, we love you, and we know your life sucks, and we're sorry. But you'd better remember that we've been with you through the whole stupid thing, and we're going to keep being with you. So don't you dare lash out at us. And Mia, we're not giving up now. No turning back. We're doing this for Angela because we love her and we believe her, okay? She swung her light back and forth until she caught them both nodding their heads. You know we don't really have any proof that this unicorn even exists, besides people talking. And we all know that people are dumb liars. Angela looked like she had a knee-jerk response of denial. So, Rainey cut in, I propose that we search until midnight and then go home. Agreed? Again, they nodded. Good. Now, I have to pee. I'm going to duck in the bushes and take care of that. And you're not going to kill each other. And you're not going to shine any lights over by where I am. Then we're going to head into the woods. Does that sound like a plan? A gross one, Mia muttered. Angela bit off a snicker. Rainey gave a curt nod and headed off the trail, picking her way over a log and pushing what looked like a whole tree out of her way. Mia and Angela pulled their flashlights away and turned their backs on her crashing around. She's gonna die in the woods, Angela said. Yeah, it's like she's never seen a horror movie before. Rainey's crashing had died down, leaving just the creepy wind. Mia scuffed at the path with her shoe. I'm sorry. Yeah, Angela said. Me too. You've had a rough month. Angela laughed. The worst? This whole thing is so stupid. I mean, why is it their business if you did? I didn't. I know you didn't, but if you did, I didn't! Okay, then if I did, if Rainey did, why should I feel bad about that? Why should everyone talk about it? Why should I not be able to see a unicorn? It's so stupid. They stood in silence for a moment, hoping the noises of the woods were normal woods noises, before Angela asked, Are you scared? Of the woods? That people are going to talk about you. That the unicorn won't like you. After you and Jay. She wobbled her head from side to side, a sign for doing it that was in no way universal. Mia got it, though. She looked down at her flashlight. I don't know. I mean, they probably won't say anything. They won't know. But do you worry anyway? Yeah, I'm scared. And it sucks because I know I shouldn't care. And I'm trying not to think about that. Yeah, I know. There was a shuffling from the bushes, and Angela shouted, Are you back? I'm turning around, so you better be decent. And there was the jump scare that Mia had expected earlier. Bright white in the beam of the flashlight, massive and lifting up out of the darkness, out of the branches, eyes glowing, horn more terrifying than any axe. The unicorn. Mia bit off a shriek. Angela dropped her flashlight, dunking the unicorn back into darkness and plunging Mia into a cold terror. There was no light on the monster. She couldn't see it. Oh God, oh God. She aimed her light at where the creature was, but it had moved, only its rear and tail now in the spotlight. She swung to show the unicorn coming out of the woods onto the path, where its feet did a little stomping dance as it came to a halt. They stared at it, frozen, gaping. The unicorn lowered its head, bit one of its legs, like a bull getting ready to charge. Like a bow. Mia grabbed Angela's sleeve and gave it sharp tugs, like she did when they were at the movies and a preview came on for something exciting. Angela? Angela? Oh my god. Get over to it! Can we? Oh my god! Crap, my phone, hold on. Mia fumbled for her pocket, trying to keep the flashlight steady, while Angela approached, each slow pace crunching on the trail. Her arms were stiff, her fingers splayed like she was a sorcerer drawing power from the earth. She stopped within arm's reach and breathed. It's real. The unicorn snorted and she jumped. Then she laughed and reached out and stroked its neck. Mia tried to hold her phone steady in shaking hands, getting it all on video as the unicorn shook its head, and Angela laughed again. It's so soft, you have to feel it. I don't... Oh my god. The unicorn's head jerked up. Not a playful nudge, but a jump to attention. Its focus locked on a shaking in the trees. It whinnied and bolted, Angela stumbling away as the unicorn charged down the path and into the dark. Mia swung her flashlight towards the trees. And there was Rainy, her face pale in the flashlight. The 20% True podcast was written and produced by me, Carolyn Rahaman. Music was composed by Kamiku. If you like the show, please rate and review on iTunes so new people can find it. Follow the podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/20percenttrue, where you can leave comments and ask questions. Check out my website, 20percenttrue.blogspot.com, for updates, thoughts on writing, and book reviews. Or follow me on Twitter at Carrie and the Hits.